This is Independent Librarian Sean Kennedy. Something terrible has happened. I'd like to say it was an accident, but I don't think it was. And I don't think it's something that... I think it'll happen again. I think it's not just a one-time thing. Everything's different now. The fact this is an illegal broadcast doesn't seem to mean so much anymore. Maybe I should say this is an illegal confession. Or a legal confession. Whatever it is, you're free to copy and distribute this any way you see fit. You're welcome to judge me. You're welcome to... turn me in for what I've done. With any luck, you'll be on my side, because I think what I've done is correct. And I swear to you that I'm going to live up to my word. I went to Victoria a couple days ago. I didn't tell my wife where I was going, I just up and left. She thought I was going to go do some filming, but wasn't the case. I thought about telling her where I was going, I thought about telling her about the castle and about what Hutch told me to do, but I knew she wouldn't understand. She's not part of that world. If you're hearing this, sweetheart, I love you. I took the card that Hutch gave me. And I thought long and hard before I took that .45 along as well. I didn't have a holster for it, so I just tucked it in the back of my jeans. Wore one of my Hawaiian shirts over top of a white t-shirt. I figured it was noticeable enough not to look like I was trying to be nondescript. There's nothing more obvious than a guy walking around wearing a plain black suit, or... It's funny how you think about being nondescript. I bet you if I wasn't worried about being pursued by the law, I would dress however I want and probably fit right in. Maybe that's the trick to fitting into society, is just to not care what other people think, just the same way everybody else doesn't care what other people think. That's how you fit in with the alternative crowd. Be yourself along these models. The trip over there was therapeutic. Once you get on the ferries, you just go up to top deck, buy yourself an $18 cola, go look over the railing at the ocean. I've always loved the ocean. Traveling from Vancouver to Victoria, it's sheltered, it's not like the open sea. But you can really tell that body of water beneath you is actually a planet three times the size of Earth. We've only discovered 5% of all sea life. Those things that Hutch told me really put the hook in me. I have no idea what to believe anymore. How many old stories or lies or the truth? How many legends are based on fact? How much of what I already know that was taught to me by the corporate school system, how much of the stuff I take for granted, how many of my pillars of reality are actually false? Time will tell. They say the salt content of the ocean is the same as the bag of water that surrounds the baby in the womb. It's my own personal belief. That's why people who live on the prairies are so messed up. They're not close enough to the mother. I love being on the sea. Takes everything away. The atmosphere just cleans you right out. You could be in the depths of despair, and if you can see those waves coming in, it's like your salvation surfs in with them. Once the ferry docked, we all got herded off. We all went our separate ways. Getting to Craig Rock is easy. They call it a castle. Well, it's the closest thing you'll find, probably on Banker Rollin to a castle. You drive into Victoria, you can see it from anywhere. It's up on a hill overlooking the entire city. Every now and again, you'll see something that really belongs in a horror movie. It's like you stepped out of reality into this world of make-believe. And my reason for going to the castle is crazy enough. To describe this giant demonic house they call a castle to you is pretty hard. It's not like anything I've ever seen in Europe. It's overbuilt. It's as though they try to take a house and put all these cathedral grandeurs into it. Balconies all stone, archways. There's not a single flat surface on the roof. It's all spikes and spires and peaks. You can't see all the spires from one area of the house. If you walk around the house from four different sides, it looks like a different house. There's no rhyme or reason to it. There's no floor plan. You couldn't just look at the house and figure out what rooms are what. Looks like the windows aren't even level. Everything's mismatched together. All the waste from another culture that just got dumped on this rock. Even the travel brochures on the ferry try to make it look attractive and friendly. But there's nothing you can do for that house. You could probably paint the thing bright yellow and put flowers all over it, and it still would look like some sort of a blasphemous excuse for a dwelling. Took me 45 minutes to drive from the ferry to the parking lot surrounding the house. Parking lot was set up in the old yard. I guess an old family named Dunsmere or something like that. They built it. Well, the guy did anyway, but you know, usual story. He went insane, the wife killed herself, all the kids vanished. Animals don't like the house. It's very quiet up there. But all this, you know, is ignored by everyone who lives around it, because after all, that's just superstitious nonsense. Somehow. Even though it's all been documented and everybody knows that there's something wrong with the house, they just kind of ignore it because it doesn't fit within conventional scientific means. You can feel it when you just get on the property. You're not looking at the house is looking at you. When you walk up the front steps, it's like you're approaching the belly of the beast. It's just, the energy there is wrong somehow. It gives me the same kind of feeling I get from a stainless steel bucket. A really high polished one. Stainless steel buckets are used to, well, they use them in hospitals to dump all your excess biomass in. They cut something off of you, they throw it inside this stainless steel bucket. I had to clean them for a short period of time when I was looking for work. And just the biotoxins and the smears, and it's a scary concept. The place was open from 10 o'clock until 2 o'clock for scheduled tours only. And I found it amazing that no one questioned this. Furthermore, nobody came. Here's a massive monolithic castle structure on a hill overlooking a city owned by some non-profit heritage society. And their only interest is to run a guided tour once a day if scheduled. All sorts of power and lights go into this place. But nobody cares. Oh, it's just a heritage house. How many heritage houses are there? How many do you really need? So many things were just making sense to me. I wondered if all the heritage houses were just fronts for cult organizations. Old places with bad memories and wicked energy that they could exploit for their own twisted means. The place felt wrong. I locked the Honda, and I walked up the stone steps. There was dust on them. I thought that was pretty weird, having dust on these stone stairs. I mean, these are the front steps, right? Doesn't everybody come and go by the front door? I didn't see another entrance. I'm sure there's one around back. And with a nice elevated position like this, you could probably tunnel down quite deep without hitting the water table. Maybe I was going too far. Halfway up the steps, I had another panic attack. I didn't want to tell anyone, but they've been coming a lot more frequent. Usually when I watch the news, I'll be seeing all the stuff that goes on, you know, and I can't take it. I'm taking 5 pills at a time now. Every 3 hours like clockwork. I'm going to have to switch to something stronger. I don't know what. I get stressed out, you know. I get up, there's too much. It's too much for anyone. So halfway up the steps, I took another 3 pills, even though I just took 5, and choked them down. These pills have a tendency to numb things, so I've taken to drinking quadruple Americanos. Gets expensive, but you gotta do what you gotta do. Money's a problem. Luckily, I've got enough donations through these broadcasts in order to stay alive. I don't really need to work security anymore. I make close to $4,000 a month. Just from the generous donations of people just like me. God, I hope not. I don't even know if you should circulate these anymore. I don't know. I don't know if you should. Is it worth it? Do you really want to know? Everyone says they want to know. You know, they go, oh yeah, you know, I believe, you know, or I don't believe. And the big standback goes, I've never seen anything. What have you seen? Well, I've never seen anything like that. You ever see it on TV? Yeah, movies. So you're telling me you believe what you see on TV based upon, you know, what time it's playing? What the little subject header is at the front of it? If it says news, it's real. If it says movie, it's fake. No. Things like this house have to be experienced. You have to feel it. Maybe you shouldn't go to the mountain. But if you don't, I would hide in your church and pray that the mountain doesn't come for you. I crossed the front porch and knocked 3 times on the door. Then I set my timer on my watch for 15 minutes. When the timer on the watch went off, I stood back up and knocked on the door. I repeated this a whole bunch of times. If you ever try that, you'll lose track. And you just sort of keep doing it. You can't remember how many times you've done it, but I guess it's not enough because they haven't answered the door yet. And all those secret societies and mystic circles, all the actions they do during their rituals are meant to teach you something. And as I sat there, autonomously getting up and knocking on the door 3 times every 15 minutes, it made me realize just how controlled I was. It's amazing. The last time I got up, went to knock on the door, and I hit it once, the door opened, and there was a woman standing there. I like to think she was a woman. She was old. But she didn't look like an old woman. She was just old. It was like she was 50, but she looked really strong. None of the wrinkles in her face were very deep. There's a lot of them, but none of them were very deep. They were all just kind of creased, like leathery. Her skin was so pale. Somehow I knew that she hadn't been out of that house in years. She's wearing an 18th century dress. Of course, it's just for the tourists, right? She wouldn't dress like that on purpose. No, no, it's a heritage house. Nothing weird here. Nothing strange going on. I didn't know what I'd say when the door opened. I kept the card in my hand. When the door did open and I saw her standing there, I felt like a fool. I felt like, what the hell am I doing here? This is ridiculous. I'm following the advice of some loony. But with her staring in my face, I had to say something. So I said, hi, I'm here. I didn't know what else to say, so I just held out the card. She looked at it. She took the card, went inside and closed the door. And I'm like, okay then. And I waited for 15 minutes. I was going to get back in the car. I'm like, okay, well, this has been a good time, you know, but I guess it's time to go. Oh, well, it didn't work. The door opened. And there she was again. And I said, hi, sorry about that. I hope I didn't upset you or anything. I just, you know, am I doing the right thing here? She stood there looking at me. I began to feel more uncomfortable. She could see that I was starting to shift my weight, and then she beckoned with her hand. She moved like she was a puppet, you know? If you imagine if I were to take nails and drill them through all your bones, top and bottom, and you hooked them all to strings, that's how she moved, like she was this lazy puppet, you know? She motioned me in, and I said, oh, gee, thank you very much. You been here long? And she turned back to me and opened her mouth really wide, a rehearsed motion to show her tongue, or should I say the place where her tongue should be. I don't know if you've ever had to look at someone's tongue. People don't show each other their tongue. It's like a sign of disrespect. She just opened her mouth, and where her tongue should be, there was this jagged stump moving around on the gum muscles, quivering a little bit. Remind me of the Masonic pledge of having your tongue torn out and buried a cable toe's length from shore where the tide ebbs and flows twice in a 24-hour period. That's the punishment the Masons give if you ever give out any of their secrets. Of course, that's all just, you know, figurative. They're obviously not going to rip the tongue out of your head, right? I mean, it's like, you know, those other things we say just to say them, you know, like the Pledge of Allegiance and the National Anthem. Same thing, you know, really. We don't really mean it. You know, we just say things like that sometimes. Because you either mean it, or you don't. And looking at her, I think they meant it. It was all I could do not to cough or cry out. I was like, oh, hey, sorry about that. I didn't know what else to say, so I shut my mouth. Which I find is the best thing for me to do most times. I just don't usually do that. She walked down the hall and I followed her lead. And there's pictures all over the walls, you know. So the people had too many pictures and they had to put them up to hide something or to desperately try to look like they're just like everyone else. I noticed that, you know. On TV, you always see pictures on every wall. Perfectly lit. But when you go into somebody's house, there's very rarely pictures on the walls, I find. I mean, kids have posters because they're allowed to express themselves. But what if adults started putting up posters in their living room? I think it'd be kind of cool. Go over to my mom's house and she'd have like a bunch of Beatles posters up in the living room. Hey, Sean. Hey, Mom. These were people who didn't smile in these pictures. Pretty common before the Second World War. I guess everybody sort of had a knowledge that prevented them from doing that. They were serious times when people really cared about the future. Maybe these pictures were to show how grave things looked. The more I thought about it, the more I wondered if the world didn't end in the year 2000. Maybe it ended in 1945. Or sooner. Maybe it ended in 1935. At what point did we forget the thousands and thousands of years of spiritual teaching of our ancestors for the glitz and glamour of a couple of electric lights? I felt like such a fool. Didn't have time to get too introspective, though. At the end of the hall, a man was waiting for me wearing a white robe. And wouldn't you know it, he had the exact same symbol that Hutch drew on the card, embroidered rich red thread, embroidering his chest. He looked like he was a pope. Holy robes. So I nodded, and I decided to stop smiling. When in Rome, right?
So, you have come to speak with the crier?
I said, yes, I have, yeah.
Very well. But be warned. When I come for you, you must follow me.
He led me down the hall. Another fellow in robes passed me. His robes were slit up the back like some kind of bizarre coattails. He smiled at me as he went by. It was a legal smile. A weasel's smile. I didn't have too much more time to think about it. I decided I hated him. Not as much as I hated the chick with no tongue, but I hated that guy almost as much. I followed the crypt keeper guy down. He led me to this doorway, which led to stairs. Can't really say as I'm too surprised. I couldn't imagine someone called the crier being kept in a top floor. The instant my feet crossed the threshold, I could feel the temperature drop. It wasn't a subtle shift. It's not like I got chilly. I could see my breath. Something made me want to throw up. But I followed the old guy in the robes. This wasn't funny. And it was getting less funny by the minute. There were no lights on down there. I followed the white robes as long as I could. The wooden steps were groaning and creaking, and I heard his feet hit the floor, but I couldn't see anything. I kept walking down. felt stone underneath my foot, and I stopped there. It's pitch black, even the light from above couldn't seem to cut through this darkness. I heard the distinctive sound of a match being struck. A spark came to life in the darkness, illuminating it. Although I wish it hadn't. The old man in the white robes lit a torch. The room was bathed in the orange glow of hell. He lit a second torch, and I could see what the crier was. On what had to be an old medical table, there was a girl, probably about 20, 25 tops. Or maybe she was younger. She's a drug addict, I could see the track marks. Her hair was stringy. There were bruises on her face. She'd been tied to that table like it was some kind of spine board. Only her head was able to flop around. Even still, I could see the bruising around the straps. The bruises on her face, the cuts along her scalp, bits of blood where her hair had stuck against the wood. These injuries were all self-inflicted. Those robes were far too white to get any blood on them. The old man stood in front of me and said,
"Speak only as long as the crier is with you."
I tried to speak, but the throat just didn't seem to work, so I nodded. And without making a sound, the old guy brushed by me and went back up the creaking stairs. The torchlight burned, threw shadows around the room. I took a look around. For some reason, I was worried that we weren't alone, the ones down here. There was nothing down here to make this look like a temple. This looked more like a storage room. Maybe the angel got the crier here all the time. In all honesty, you could have cut her off of that table and left the table as it sat. No one even looked twice at the room. It was hidden in plain view. I could see where the phone switch was, as well as the main fuse box for the house. It was all in this room. Convenient excuse to have to come here to keep things running smoothly. The woman they called the crier rolled her eyes and twisted her neck. Opened her eyelids, but only her whites showed. Her breath came out like steam in the cold air. And then she spoke.
"You come to speak with prayer."
The voice that came out of her mouth wasn't hers, and there was more than one. It was like I was speaking to... Well, she was possessed. I mean, everyone knows what possessed people look like, and that's what I was talking to. It was right out of The Exorcist. She locked her eyes on me. And I could feel her. I could feel the filth of her vision touching me.
"You have come seeking proof. You have come seeking proof for your faith."
The gig was up. If she could read my mind, I was cooked. So I better ask a question as long as I was there, because I didn't know if I'd get a chance like this again. I said, "Where can I find Dietrich Eckhart?" I mean, if all this is true, I had to kill him. Somebody had to get to him. Somebody had to know.
"Been warm sitting in the house of man, under the chair that says, instead of the Son of God, he waits.
How can I find him?" How can I kill him?
No, Librarian. You will not kill him. You are not permitted to. We will not let you. But we grow tired of our earthly servitude. The marks they paint upon us keep us in check. We wish to be free. To harvest you how we see fit. You must kill the body to destroy the head. Bleed them. Stab them 10,000 times with the spears of children. Outlive your enemy, for you will surely never outlive us.
What do you mean? You mean destroy his assets, take away his people? What are you talking about here? I don't know what you mean.
No more time, Librarian. This flesh is weak.
With that, her body relaxed. And for the first time, I could see the stretch marks on the straps and how they came. I wondered what would happen if she wasn't tied down. Would she kill me? Would she run through the streets? Would she try to escape? I heard the door behind me. And the old man in the white robes was coming down the stairs.
It is time. You must follow me.
With the torches still burning, I turned. My whole body felt like it was 5 times its regular weight. Everything on me was holding me down as though the gravity there was more intense somehow. I got a good look at the stairs and the torchlight, and I could see that these stairs weren't thin planks at all. Each step was cut out of almost 6-inch planks of cedar. I think I really was heavier in here, or maybe gravity was different. I turned and went up the stairs, as the old guy said. And I got halfway up when I heard a noise behind me.
Please help me.
The words cut into me. They changed me. I started to feel stronger. I don't know how, but somehow the spell that had been worked on me was starting to get shaken off. I shook my head. Looked around the room again. Began to realize what's really going on here. I turned back to look at the crier, and there, instead of that possessed creature which was before me, I saw the earnest eyes of a young woman. It became clear to me how this all happened now. It became clear to me how it all worked. What they did was they had captured her. She was probably someone, a street person, maybe a prostitute. They picked up, dragged her in here, done unspeakable things to her, and opened her up like some cross-dimensional whore to channel in the spirits so that they could talk to them. I could see it now. It all became really clear to me how much power these creatures really had. These beings that called themselves men. These were power-mad Satanists. Men bent on the destruction of the world and turning everyone's will to their own. They didn't want to rule people. They wanted to rule slaves, like so many pharaohs beating people to make their pyramids. It was true. It was all true. We'd lost the war. They've already got power. We were just now in the final throes of dying. Our culture is shot. No one's reading. Our children are all ignorant. Nobody knows what's going on. The internet is the last bastion of free speech, and only the wogs are the ones who stand up against the tyranny. But we have nothing. We've been beaten back to nowhere. All we've got is the weapons at our disposal. I saw the priest standing in the doorway, and suddenly that pistol didn't feel so heavy anymore in my belt. I didn't care. These motherfuckers had everything. They got it all. They got the cars, the women, the
cash. They got everything going on. What do I got? I got nothing. I tried to do things their way. I tried to live by their standards. I tried to join the army, do my part, all the rest of that shit. They beat us on television 24 hours a day. Well, it didn't work, did it? None of it worked. Well, maybe it all worked too well. Maybe that's just the big plan here. The big plan is to take me and turn me into another little satanic machine. That's all they want. They want us to be little cogs in their satanic machine. I could feel my hands start to burn. I could feel it itch and tingle because I was looking at this satanic piece of shit in front of me and that innocent girl on the table behind me. Sure, maybe she made her mistakes, but you know what? No one deserves to be turned into an interdimensional whore for a group of secret society fucknuts. I had enough. I don't care. I know that they have got power. I know that they had everything going for them. I know that they own the police. I know that they owned all the government officials. I know they own the military, and there's nothing any of us could do. So what do? Do I just walk away? Do I leave this woman there on the slab waiting to be picked over and thrown out like so much of yesterday's fucking trash? But she's dead. She's fucking dead. There's nothing I can do for this bitch. She's tied to the table. If I so much as lift a finger against them, these callers are gonna take my house, my home, and everything. There's nothing I can do. I'm standing here with a gun and there's not a fucking thing I can do. All I gotta do is pull that gun out and end it. And I can't even do that. I can't do that. But I got my own life. I got my own dreams, my own things I wanna do. I got shit that's more important, man. I'm just trying to stay alive. Why the fuck is this gotta be up to me? I can't help her. Nobody can help her. That bitch is tied to a table and she's dead meat. I'll be lucky if I can get out of here alive. I can't help everyone, you know. I can barely even look after myself. The forces of evil have already won. There's nothing we can do. Fuck that. I'm gonna do something about this. So I reached back, I slung back that rack, and I let the motherfucker have it. The 45 nearly jumped out of my hands as his head sprayed all over the wall. He hit the ground like a rag, jerking like a seizure. That bitch with no tongue was gonna get it next. I jumped up the steps three at a time, hit the top floor. Sure enough, she's coming down the hallway with a dagger drawn. If only you were a little closer and a little faster, but you're not, so you're fucking wasted. The round smacked her in the chest and she went sailing back down the hallway. And I saw the flashing coattails of the other cultists heading up the stairs. Fireball! There's no way off on the roof because it's all spikes and you got nowhere to go. I spun back around and started to head down in the basement. I remember where I saw the phone switch and the power cable. When everything's dark, everybody's even. So I went over, cut the power, pulled out the phone lines, and now all we gotta do is see who can get to the front door first. And now when I get outside, it's all over but the crying. Everything I learned from the army came streaming back to me like so many drills. It was all too easy. The blood running down the stairs from that piece of shit I shot in the face. It was now starting to pool around the table of the girl they called the crier. Working fast, I pulled out my striker, cut the straps, and let her free. She was so weak she could barely even stand, but you know what? She'd have to stand on her own, because I haven't got time. I've already turned myself into a felon. I don't have time to really help you with this, so you know what? You can get out of this house under your own power. I talked to her. I said, hey, can you hear me? Can you understand me? You're on your own, lady. I gotta go kill the other bitch. I left her one torch, I grabbed the other, and headed up the stairs, three at a time. I found him on the second landing, and I realized just how pathetic and sniveling these bastards were once you cornered them. I gotta tell you, I know it's wrong to take life, but walking up those stairs with that cannon in my hand, I gotta say, I felt an awful lot like God. Walking down to get righteous vengeance on this piece of garbage who decided it would be okay to start exploiting people to use their immortal souls for their own benefits. You can't kill me! I'm with the Order of Thule. We'll give you whatever you want! You can't just end my life like this! This is not the way it's supposed to happen! What do you want? I leveled the pistol to the cultist and said, you know what I want? I want you to know that I'm gonna spend the rest of my life educating wogs and teaching them how to patrol the streets so they can look for you sick bastards and end all of your lives. And I want you to go to hell, right? Fucking now!